Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the world of Humbrea, featuring three first-time adventurers and one very patient DM. This is D&D 404. Welcome, everybody, to the first ever episode of D&D 404. I am your DM, Tony, and today we have three lovely heroes. Our first one up is Dan. Dan, say hi.
Hey, how's it going?
And we got Jared.
Hey, what's up?
And then we got Alec.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, how's it going? All right, so we are now going to begin our first ever campaign on our first episode ever. Welcome to the world of Humbrea. This is the world where the story takes place, but this world isn't so happy-go-lucky fairy tale land. Humbrea is a place that has been stricken with grief, death, decay, and sorrow. Almost 200 years ago, before our heroes here begin their quest today, Humbrea has suffered a terrible event that left its permanent mark on the world. This tragedy is widely known as the Red Catastrophe. Legends say that 200 years ago, an evil god of unknown origin that went by the name of Christo had appeared, wielding never-before-seen, unparalleled blood magic. With this magic, he would open rifts of oozing blood, and out came powerful and horrifying demons. Within 1 year's time, Akristo and his army of blood demons would attack villages, cities, and towns across Humbrea. Starting in the Heartlands, passing through the Kambuki Isles and landing in South Trillis, slaughtering the masses and taking innocents back into the blood portals. They say Akristo was looking for a child of God. One day in South Trillis, a soldier from the Kingdom of Aramor named Horatio approached Akristo and struck a deal with him. Horatio claimed that he was indeed a child of God. Horatio would willingly offer his life to him. In exchange, Akristo would need to leave the world of Humbrea for good. Akristo had accepted his offer, and him and his army of demons haven't been seen since, leaving the world of Humbrea in bloody ruin. Fast forward 200 years, we're going to go ahead and meet our heroes and introduce them, starting off with Dan.
That's me. Oh my gosh, I'm Dan.
The story starts in the morning of South Trillis at the break of dawn. Sounds of the morning drums echo against the South Trillis mighty mountain range, awakening birds, wildlife, and fellow sleeping tribesmen. The beating of the drum gradually picks up with momentum. The biggest and strongest minotaur hunters are already at the gate to leave for the day's hunt. Soon after, sounds of a working village and beneath the caves begin to get louder as farmers start tending to their crops. Guardsmen begin switching posts, and minotaur families begin to cook breakfast. Following a delightfully fruity scent leads us down a finely paved road, increasing on the top of a hill to a resting chieftain's house. Through the window and into the kitchen, following this delicious cooking scent, there is a friendly-looking mother tor cooking a nice hearty vegetable and all fruit-based meal, what looks like a five-course meal. You got yams, hot potatoes, steamed carrots glazed with honey, oatmeal, chocolate chip cookies, and a jar of freshly churned peanut butter. Homemade granola crisps and a plate of cinnamon buns right in the middle, frosted with the best vanilla icing you have ever seen. With that aroma coming off the cinnamon buns comes a short, wide, yet stoic minotaur. Dan, can you please describe your character for me, please?
I am Minas Pebble Walker. That is I. I am a stoutly 4 foot tall. Don't ask anyone else. I'm assuredly 4 foot tall, not 3'10", as my father and mother might tell you. I am a black furred minotaur with a red mohawk and red eyes. And as most people will be able to see, clearly I am quite mini in tar stature.
All right, so Minas, there you are. Minas is a minotaur. Pretty much we just took a minotaur, we just shrunk him down and gave him halfling stats just for, you know, player knowledge. All right, so Minas is now at the breakfast table, right? He sees this huge, all this food, this huge five-course meal. He's ready to eat because today's the big day. You go on your journey, Minas. This is it. You're finally setting out to make your father proud and to make a rightful claim in your tribe. right? So now you're in this beautiful home. You know, the chairs are like made of strong red oak wood to hold your massive minotaur weight. Well, in your case, you're small, so you don't have a lot of weight to you. But you know, minotaurs are, you know, pretty hefty in size. Your mother comes over, you're like, "Good morning, sweetie." She pinches your cheeks. "Are you excited for today? Today's the day you get to leave. Oh my god, my little boy's growing up. Oh my god, there's my little Minis. Minis, how are you feeling?"
"Mother, don't treat me like a tiny baby minotaur.
Oh, sweetie,
I'm going out on a big minotaur adventure, and there's nothing you can do about it."
Well, then maybe you don't want this bag of treats I prepared for your journey today." She holds up like a nice big bag of like packaged Cinnabons and assorted fruits and things like that. She goes, "I guess I'm just gonna have to throw this away if you don't want it."
I'm going to be quite hungry on my quest, Mother.
Okay, honey. Okay, sweetie. So I'll just set these down right here.
You can stick them in my backpack. That'd be great.
I'll put him in your backpack for sure. I give you on your mighty cart, right? You got your mighty cart ready outside with all your gear?
It's quite mighty. Yes, Mother. it's the mightiest of carts, indeed.
I'm just, your father and I are just so proud of you, Minis. You know that? We're just so proud of you. You're going on your own journey. You're making your own way in life.
Thank you. Yep. I appreciate that. It does mean a lot.
So at that moment, you start hearing hefty footsteps coming down the hall, walking into the kitchen, which sounds like giant hooves echoing in your house, and you know, like the glass starts to shake and things like that. And
it comes
into the kitchen, a giant minotaur. He's much larger than the average minotaur. Maybe it has like a 2 extra feet on every minotaur in town. He is indeed the chieftain, very bull-like. He sits down. He drags the chair from the table and just screeches across the floor because he's very tired and just not ready to deal with your bullshit. He sits down in the chair, puts himself in. He has a very like tight face on, but his eyes are closed. He's not fully woken up yet. He reaches over, his massive hand reaches over, grabs a cinnamon bun, holds it in front of him for just a second, takes a whiff, takes a bite. Has a nice sigh of relief, opens one eye just to see his mini son sitting in front of him with an eager smile to talk to him. "Good morning, Minis."
"Good morning, Father.
I assume you remembered today's journey."
"I was about to ask you the same thing, Father."
"Oh, I can't wait for you to go out and make your own way far, far from the Ivory Boulder Clan."
"Well, you know, I do have rightful heir to the throne, so..."
"Of course, Minis, that's the whole point of this. You need to go out and pave your way, make your own way in life. Spread word."
"Well, I'm going to make my way all right, Dad.
Remember what we talked about, son? Remember, you have to go take care of that Hydra I just tell you about. It's a very big deal.
You think I'd forget the crystal four-headed Hydra? No tail.
Of course.
Beyond the Kimbuki Isles. I'm gonna slay it real hard.
You're gonna make me so proud when you finally kill that four-headed crystal Hydra."
I plop down from my chair and with a ooh, because it's so tall. And I scamper over and I lean up on the
table.
In a
high chair? Do you get a high chair for your seat?
Yeah. In a high chair.
I'll do that again. I jump. So I wiggle out of my high chair and I plop onto the ground. Ooh, and I scamper over and I put my hands up on the table and lift myself up on my tippy toes.
"Hey, don't hurt yourself, son. Don't hurt yourself."
"Hey, guess what, Dad?"
He looks over, looks down. "What's that?"
"I'm going to make you look so foolish." "I'm going to make you look so foolish. I'm going to kill the fudge out of this crystal four-headed Hydra."
Minis, he's like, he's up to your shit again. Minis.
Yes.
Go sit in your high chair. I need to talk to you. I need to go sit in your chair.
I scamper back and I reach my hands up on the high chair and I pull as hard as I can to get up there. Wriggling. Wait, hold on, wait.
Boy.
I'm not quite in. Wait, give me a sec. Okay, go.
He's just a chair is like screeching on the ground, almost tips over. Just like some fruit falls on the floor. Oh, sweetie, you gotta be careful. She picks up the apple that you just dropped, puts in front of you, pats you on the head.
I could have gotten it, Mom. I could have gotten it.
I know you couldn't, Minis. I know you could. You just look so enthusiastic.
I appreciate it. Don't think I don't appreciate it, Mom.
Minis, I understand.
I'm talking to Father.
Minis, listen to me. Listen to me. I prepared you a letter. Okay, it's a description. It's not really a letter. It's more of a description of this Hydra you need to kill. But I, more importantly, son, I need you to be careful when you set out today. I'm very proud that you're finally leaving the Ivory Boulders on your quest. But you need to be careful out there. The world is a very dangerous place. Mm. But I believe in you, son. I believe in you, son. Do you get me? You need to be careful out there. Things are very large out there. Things are average height out there. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you, son?
I understand. It feels like you're complimenting me, but I still feel hurt.
No, listen, no judgment here, son. Listen, I'm your father. I believe in you. That's why I'm sending you on this quest. You think I would send anybody? You think I would send Miranor on this quest? This quest is too dangerous for him.
Like he could handle this. I was going to take him down before you stopped me, father.
So at this moment, you have like a little flashback of all the moments you've had with Miranor. You first met Miranor in elementary cow school, Minotaur school, and he's just like this massive Minotaur, but he's kind of like a gentle giant. Like he sees you one day, he notices that you're not as tall as the other Minotaurs, and he hands you like a flower. He's like, "Hey, bud, I just thought maybe you might like this," you know, and you like smack it out of his hand. You take it as like an insult. Then you see like some points in Minotaur High School where he's like, "Hey, Minis, what are you doing this weekend? Want to go human tipping or something? You know, maybe we can go, do some cow shoes or something." And you just blow him past. You just never take him up on his invite, and it's just like flashbacks of him just trying to be your friend that you take insultingly. No, I would never do that. I would never give Miranor the giant, strong, potential warrior of the clan. Why would you think that, son?
Well, I mean, it could have been the fact that you openly said you would at the last clan meeting.
I never said that. I never said that.
That's kind of why I confronted him and challenged
him. I told you when these town meetings happen, as sheep, and I need to keep everybody calm. But that's why I'm sending you on this quest. You know that the clan initiation doesn't happen
I'm just,
for years. It doesn't happen for a long time. As long as I'm around, nobody's
taking my spot. I'm just saying
that's the reason why I would think that
because you said it in front of everybody.
So he gets up and he walks over to you, and he's just like, his head is almost hitting the ceiling. He puts his hand on your head. He's like, "Son, listen to me. After breakfast today, you're gonna be leaving on your journey today.
Yes.
And I just couldn't say that I'm gonna miss you, but I want you to be careful." He turns around, goes to the counter, he hands you a box. It's like a small box. He's like, "Here's. I know you like to play with that sling, and the sling can be helpful, but I feel like you might need, you know, something with a little more edge to it." He gives you two hand axes that are appropriate to your side. They look like custom made, where you can wield them, pretty well, because a normal hand axe might be a little too big for you. So he made like custom, like for a Minotaur. In retrospect, so he made like custom hand axes for you to use, which is the hand axes you have in your inventory. And in that, he also, there's like a letter. It's pretty much describing the Hydra. It's poorly written out, so every time you look at it, you feel like there's new details that he didn't mention before on them. He's like, "You take this and you make sure you find this exact Hydra beyond the Kambuki Isles."
Dad, I'm looking at this sheet here. I don't remember you saying that it had four spikes. On each head.
Those four spikes are very important, Minis.
But I don't remember seeing that last time. It was a lot less detailed.
Son! He claps his hand and like things like glasses move, and the mother's like, "Oh, Titus, relax, honey, relax, Minis. Finish your breakfast and gather your things." And he gives you a hug. It's like the first time he's given you a hug in a long time. He's like, "Just Send an owl. Send an owl every now and then.
I let my arms go limp as he hugs me. As he hugs me, I just sit there scowling.
So he's like, I need to go to this morning's town meeting, but I'm with you, son. I truly am.
And you're not giving Mirinor the crown.
No, that's not for a long time. That's not for a long time.
I just want to be clear.
It's not for a long time. Claps his hands and things start moving again. It's like he's doing like a minor thunderclap to shut you up. Your mother walks over. Mira walks back over. And she goes, you know your father cares about you. He just has so much on his mind, sweetie. He has so much on his mind. But I packed your bag this morning. Everything's there. You got this beautiful handcrafted axes that he made you. Look at that. Has the ivory bolted clan sigil on them, honey. They're so sweet.
Thanks, mama.
So remember, send an owl. Honey, send an owl once in a while, okay? Can you do that for me? Can you do that for your mother? Kisses you on the cheek. Can you do that for your mother?
Yes, of course.
Look at those horns. Look at those slick back horns. Oh, my God. That's my little girl. Okay, I won't get to stop. You're a man now. You're a man.
That's right.
So from here, you gather your things. You eat a nice, hearty breakfast. You take the extra Cinnabons. You can add that to your inventory if you want. When you go to eat them, I'll tell you how much they heal you for, if they have any benefits to them.
Right.
So just kind of keep that on hand for now.
I lift my hands up as I stare angrily at my father for my mother to lift me off the high chair.
Oh, sweetie. Yeah, sometimes she undoes the buckle for you and everything.
She put me down.
Big boy. You're so
I'm going to show you, father. I'm going to show you as I'm getting pulled down. I'm going to show you.
Minish, I'm just so proud of you.
Thanks, sweetheart. Mother. I'm going to show you, Dad.
So fast forwarding a little bit, you gather your things. You got your little hand cart that you're ready to go on this quest, and your mother walks you to the gate, ready to leave your town. This Minotaur town is pretty high end as far as Minotaur towns go. It looks like there's an actual civilization here. You're not just like a savage clan. So as you walk towards the gate, your mother looks at you. She goes, "All right, honey, remember, you just want to head east. You want to head west from here? If you keep heading west, you're going to see a town of Gilo. Gilo is a great town. You're going to start off, you're going to see a lot of people. It's going to introduce you to city life. You're going to see a lot of different types of people. Don't be scared, honey, okay? Promise me you won't be scared. But I think you're going to meet some great people there, and you might even make a friend or two, honey. Trying to make some friends, okay? But you just want to keep heading west to get to the Kambuki Isles, and this will be a good time to learn about, you know, map awareness that I knew you're so good at.
Yes, of course. My maps. Mother. Do you think I will find a friend or two?
Honey, you have so many friends now, I don't have a doubt in my mind.
I don't have a doubt in my mind. You know I love the clan, but I mean, don't sugarcoat it, Mom. I know no one likes me here. I know no one likes me. Mom.
Hey,
Mom.
She grabs you by like the horns. Like softly. She looks at you. She kneels down, like looks you in the eyes, like, you're gonna do great out there. You're gonna make everybody proud. There's a reason why the chieftain's only son is going on this quest. Every great chieftain has proved themselves to the clan. And it is your time to do it too.
She gives
you a kiss on the forehead, slicks your hair back. It's like, she's so messy. You just like puts her thumb in her mouth, you know, licks it, you get some saliva in it.
Mother, stop it.
She just looks so cute.
Stop it. I already groomed today.
Remember, send an owl, sweetie.
Mom, I licked my penis like 5 times already. Calm down.
That's nice. That's nice for you and your penis, sweetie.
It's well groomed.
Try not to do that among people. Try not to do that in front of people, okay?
Do common folk not like that? Is that not common in common folk territory?
With consent, sweetie. With consent.
Interesting. Noted. I scribble down in a little notepad. Do not lick genitals.
All right, so Minas Pebblewalker is now leaving town. It's very early in the day. He starts heading for a town named Gilo. And he has, you know, you have plenty of camping equipment, so you should be good to go. We now bring the story over to Jared. In a dark room, we see 6 robed tieflings standing in a very gloomy, low-lit room. Standing in a circle, in the center of this circle, is a glowing rune. It looks like a stand, like it's like one of those runes from Full Metal Alchemist. You know, when, when Elric would Ed and his brother try to bring his mother back. It's like one of those runes painted on the floor from what looks like, to your knowledge, blood. All right, so this rune is glowing from the floor up, and that's pretty much the only thing that's giving any type of light to this room. The glows from the red circle fade in and out as the tieflings all start to chant. Each tiefling can be heard. They don't sound too distinct as everybody's in sync. Not much can really be seen from the beyond this dark room, but you assume that you are in a basement, void of light. There are sounds coming from this painted room as it glows in and out. Our hero Armos lowers his hood and raises his hands above the rune. Jared, please describe a character for us.
I was in real life raising my hand. Okay. So, tiefling, I have red skin, slicked back black hair. My horns are black, but a little white due to my age. I'm, you know, a little up there. Definitely 30s. And I'm draped in robes.
You just dripped in robes. So you look very, so you are a warlock. Okay. And you're fitting the part, and you're right now you're doing this warlock, what seems to be a warlock ritual, and you got your hair slicked back, yeah. And you look very dapper.
You don't know if I'm going to go to the club or I'm doing a seance. Just saying.
You don't know if you're doing a seance or going to the club, yeah. But what I do know is that everything's going to shit. Boom! A large red puff comes from the rune as you get the sense of something terribly wrong just happened. You start hearing screams from all these fellow tieflings from mixed sexes. You got male screams, you got female screams. People are like, and your vision's going red. Is red smoke everywhere. Everything has gone terribly wrong. You start to hear chants louder as if the warlocks around you are trying to fix a spell. Call out from next to you. Armos, what are you doing? Throwing that. And it immediately gets cut off as a sudden burst of scream. As a sudden scream bursts into the room. And a red flash blinds your sight for just a second. And when your vision comes to, that guy who just called out to you, his arm is now completely removed and there's blood spewing all over the floor. Directly in front of you, as you see, blood starts to fill and starts touching the rune below you. A thin line, as if something was tearing through the dimension itself, a portal then opens up wide, and it's a giant red portal, and it's literally oozing blood out of the sides. It looks like somebody just put a giant gash in the middle of the air. You look to your left and you see another warlock, and his legs are gone. It's just like his torso up, and he's on the floor. Across from you, there's another decapitated tiefling just bleeding out everywhere. Your feet are now fully soaked. You don't even see the floor anymore with how much blood is oozing out of this portal. In front of you, you hear these terrible demonic screams, and you see bursting from the portal is a huge claw, like this giant demon-esque. You just all muscle tissue, doesn't have any skin. It's all this muscle tissue, long nails. It has like 7 phalanges, and it just reaches out barely, just misses the tip of your nose. Another red flash happens in front of you, and now you see this giant maw with several rows of teeth trying to get out. This demon that you can only describe as a demon is trying to pull itself out of the rift. From the left of you, you hear a woman's voice. Armos, close the portal! The spell is... Another red flash happens. Everything goes dark. You open your eyes, and you are completely prone, laying on the floor, completely soaked in blood. You lift your head a little bit, and all you can see is just these... You can't even say full corpses because they're so horribly dismembered that you couldn't even recognize them if you tried. It's just all this blood on the floor. You don't even see the sigil that you made when you started the incantation. You look up and there's this red light coming from the center of the room where the circle was. And in front of you, you see this all black bunny. It is about I would say about the size of like a Rex rabbit, just to give you some dimensions. But they're rabbits. They're about maybe like 2 feet long and like 2 feet high, and his ears are crooked and distorted. They're one's pointing up, the other one's like leaning off to the left, and it's like bent. It's the ears are very jagged, and he turns around and he looks at you, and he has blood red eyes. Right behind him is what, like the portal is like that you opened, is sitting in front of it, but nothing is trying to burst out. It just looks like a red circle of dripping blood.
I didn't do anything. This wasn't me. I was just trying to warm up some food. Sorry to disturb you.
Ormos.
Oh shit.
This bunny speaks out in a very deep, deep voice.
What's
Ormos?
Yeah. Okay. You
are
you know
not
my name.
The one that okay. casted?
Uh huh. Yeah.
Aren't you not the one that drew this sigil onto the floor? And he points to a very bloody rune that was painted onto the floor.
I mean, I did. This isn't exactly what I had in mind. I was trying to do something else, but yeah. That's me. That's my name. What's up?
You not know what you have done here today. The havoc you have brought onto this world by summoning me. And he, like, his ears start twitching and freaking out. And then he just suddenly stops. He starts scratching the back of his ears like, oh, fuck yeah. Oh, that's fucking good. Oh, fuck yeah. He's just scratching with, like, his big foot. He's like, you will not know what you've done here today, summoning a great, powerful demon. You needed to do a little more research. And then he just instantly stops. He goes, you got any pellets? He starts to.
I got this dude's fingers that you cut off just a second ago. I mean,
he starts hopping towards you so easily to cast your friends aside to satiate my power. Give me one reason why I shouldn't eat you right now. Oh, we're bonded.
Uh-oh. Did you touch me in a weird way? What happened? What did I do?
Why are we bonded?
Is this
a weird
thing?
I don't want to hurt you for some reason. Why do I not want to hurt you? I'm literally a mighty demon from another world.
Do I need to turn this way? Like, how do I undo this?
He looks around. He's like trying to find some light. He goes over to like a torch. He's like, why is that torch so high up? Why is that torch so high? He goes, he looks down. He's like, why are these fuzzy feet? He thumps. Wait, that was my fuzzy foot.
I mean,
he goes over to like, he tries to find like some sort of light. And he looks into a reflection, into a puddle of blood, and looks at his reflection. He's like, what am I? And he just realized that he's a bunny, but this demon has never seen a bunny before. To your knowledge now, you know that you just summoned a pact with what you think is an animal. Mm-hmm. So you might want to explain that to him now.
So what happened was I put all this down and I was excited. I didn't know it was going to end this way.
Right there, you realize that you don't remember what spell you were trying to cast. You don't even recognize the people that are on the floor or why you're even down here. It just seems to escape from you as if you had amnesia.
Yeah. I don't...
Armos is your name, right?
Yeah.
Why do I have a strong, compelling feeling that my name is Reginald? He looks around. He's like, he's like having like a moment because he feels like his name is a Reginald. He's like, my name is like he's like some force is forcing him to say that his name is Reginald when he knows it's not Reginald. Did you name me Reginald, Armos? He hops over to you. He goes, he's just leaning up in his pile of blood. You didn't fully stand up yet. He's like sitting on your chest. What are you doing to me? Who are you?
Look, you're adorable, but your voice is a little off. But you know what? Hey, look, we can figure this out.
How are mighty great a demon supposed to sound, Armos?
I mean,
you look like a what? What are you?
Look like this? I mean, I
what
could,
am
like,
I?
Palm
what
you
am
and
I?
Put you in a basket.
Don't,
do you want to ride
don't
my
you?
Backpack?
I don't want to ride your backpack. Good. That actually sounds pretty fun for some reason. I don't know why I find that fun, but that sounds pretty exhilarating.
I could throw you up and catch
don't,
you.
Do not throw me up right now.
Okay.
Maybe later. I don't know why he thumps again. Why am I doing that with my foot?
You know, I think, you know, it's a habit. I don't know what kind of animal you are at this point.
I need to get back home.
Where's
home?
Back
to my room.
Do you know anything?
When you ask that question, he instantly goes, like, the bunny's face instantly drops. And he just looks at you. He doesn't answer.
Interesting. I don't know what all this was, but like, I'm still here. Do you need something from me, or are we playing with something?
He gets up and he looks around the room and he's like,
you don't really look very menacing yet.
I am terrible in power and great in stature. I have 7 wings. Where am I? He looks behind him.
I don't see any wings. All I see is
Where are my wings? He's freaking out. He's like, it took me a millennia to earn those wings. Years in the army, I had to earn those wings.
I mean, you look like you need a lift, and he's by like, lift, I mean, you look like I want to carry you and, like,
Dad,
maybe pet you.
Don't carry me! And then, like, his bunny sense is kicking right now. He does. Yeah. Why am I? I don't want to be picked up by this mortal.
Yo, here, why don't you come up here and get a little snuggle? Get a little snuggle.
I
want to down.
Oh.
I start to pet him, you know, gently at first, and then I start itching, you know, doing a little itch.
Oh, fuck, that feels good. Keep doing that. No, stop doing that. Oh, right there. Right fucking there, yeah. Oh, that's all right.
Now that we're a little calmed down.
His butt starts twitching. Bunnies do butt twitches when they really like something. So his like butt is like twitching a little bit. Okay.
All right. I don't know what this was, but what can we do? What are the
components? Do you have any more components that you use? It looks like, okay. I'm starting to remember this. I'm starting to recognize what's going on.
I'm glad you're remembering because I don't know nothing. I remember this guy, but I don't know this
guy.
So
he goes.
At the same time.
So he goes. He's looking around the room and he goes, oh well, this is and he instantly stops. He's like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Now you know what I'm dealing with. Like, I think I owe this guy money, but at the same time, I pick up his arm. I'm like, you know what? I don't know. And I throw it.
Well, we got a room of, dead tieflings here, it seems like.
Yeah.
It's quite unfortunate, Armos, I gotta
say. I'm not cleaning this shit up.
All right, look, listen, here's what's gonna happen, Armos. Here's what's gonna happen. I do not belong in this body, okay?
Clearly.
Whatever this is, why am I, Armos?
Well,
he's clever. He's clearly never seen a bunny or a rabbit in his life.
Do I know? Just break it.
You can sense from him that he is from another realm and is most likely a demon.
That, but do I know what rabbits are at this point?
You know what rabbits are. Yeah, rabbits are common animals.
So, you look kind of rabbitish.
Rabbit?
I don't,
he just looks at you?
You got furry. They're usually very harmless. Eat grass. Normally, not arms or legs or that guy's face. I don't know why. Why a face, dude?
All right, Armos.
All right.
I have an idea. You see that rift that's like kind of open that you did?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. Yeah, all right. Yeah. No, I got
that. Pick me up. Pick me up. I want to be picked up. Bring me over to that rift.
All right. I gently pick him up. But, you know, while giving him a little...
No, hold my feet! Oh my... Why? Calm down! Why are you so tall?
To calm him, I'm petting him and giving him little scratches behind his ear so he shuts the fuck up.
I don't like my feet dangling. I don't like my feet dangling. His feet are, like, kind of just, like, swinging. He's like, I don't like it. But yeah, keep scratching. So
he's
you
doing
go up
little
to this
foot thumping thing.
So you go up to this portal, and this is the portal that you assume... you were trying to open, but looking around you, like this was clearly not the result you were trying to get. But for the life of you, you don't know what you were trying to do here.
You know, I give a good hard look and I'm like, I think I fucked up on this one. This one's on me. This one's on me.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't understand
why anybody would want to summon me. I gotta be honest with you, Armos. This is pretty out of pocket for most people, I would assume. I come from a terrible place, Armos. I come from a terrible place.
Yeah, I must have hemmed when I hooed when I was doing the thing. Yeah, this was me. This was me. You wish what you should have wad? Yeah. It's a common thing. I always wad too soon. I don't know. I can't help it.
Okay. You're magical. I feel like, can you like make a portal? Can you do something with it? I feel like, wait, let's go over here. Hold on. Can you stroke my ears for me for a second? Hold on. I don't have hands right now.
Okay. I give him a little ear on the non-crooked one. The crooked one, I'm too scared.
They're both jagged, just in very different ways.
Okay. Well, there's one of them that might be infected, bro. We may have to talk about that later, but.
So he's like looking at his portal. He's like, okay. So, Armos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like you.
You know what? I'm not gonna lie. I don't know what happened here, but I don't know why you try.
I don't know why you would try to summon a greater demon for one of the Lord Commanders from the army of death, darkness, and blood, and put me in this adorable body that I seem to like as time goes on. I'm not gonna lie. Just you scratching my ears is kind of the shit right now. I need to get back to my home. So we have this, I know this rift. It's a good rift, but I can't feel the connection to my home. I just recognize it because I've been through these things before.
Yeah. Maybe you're too small now. Maybe you need to be bigger?
Maybe I just need to show my mighty brow. He stands up on his hind legs and he's like trying to go Super Saiyan for a second. He goes,
yeah.
Where's my mighty power?
I don't think you're fooling anyone, but
where's my mighty power?
You're about this tall, like you're not. I saw you do that thing with that dude's arm. That was impressive. I don't know what this is, but it is. You know, I'm gonna be honest.
Listen.
It's not great.
Listen.
All right, I'm listening.
Yes, now I'm starting to remember. Yes, the portal opened up in front of me, and I saw it as an opportunity to go through it because I smelled something delicious on the other end. Blood.
Oh, okay.
Most likely fresh, mortal blood. I crave that shit, man.
That was you coming here.
Yes, it was.
Got it.
Did you see how
now
cool?
Now you can't go back.
I need to go back. I have an army to run, but where is my power? He's like, hold on, let me summon it. He sits up, he's standing up on his hind legs. The rabbit's like puffing his chest, slicking his crooked ears
so
back, and they're going
cute.
Shag. And another way, he's like,
give
listen,
him a little belly scratch.
Tiefling,
give him a little belly scratch.
Tiefling,
I can't help it.
Silence.
I can't help it. I'm sorry.
He starts sniffing his little nose, twitching his little butt.
Yep.
I'm small.
Yeah, very. Absolute, very small. Yes. So.
Fuck.
Yeah.
He's like looking at it. He's tapping his foot. He's crossing his little bunny arms. Look. You're just holding him in your hands, like you know, palmed out. He's like tapping his foot. He's like,
okay. Here's what we can do. We need to find a way. I think I have enough energy to harness where this will take me somewhere where we can find what we need. For some reason, I know what we need, but I can't tell you what we need because something is... He's not letting me tell you.
Ooh.
This is going to be difficult.
Hold me up to the portal. Should I?
Hold me up to the portal. We have to go. I feel like
I have no option at this point since I saw him just, you know, take a dude's face off. So I put him up to the portal as like a...
So, just so you know, the demon that you saw trying to break out of this portal looks very different than the bunny you're holding right now.
It looks like
whatever happened, that giant demon, you did something that you don't quite remember, is now in the shape of a bunny.
Yeah.
And you're not quite sure why he took the place of a bunny, but you, from what you can remember, go ahead and give me a Arcana check real quick.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh my God. All right, I'm going to roll for you. All right. Yeah. So you got a 17. No. You got a 17.
You know what? We'll go with it. All right. I resend my no.
was a good roll.
That's a good roll.
That's a great roll.
You rolled a 17 on your Arcana check. So you don't exactly recall the events that went down, but you know that you have the sense that within your skill set, you saw this terrible demon and needed to find a way to bind this demon so he stops trying to kill everybody in the room. And for one reason or another, you thought the form of a bunny was the first thing that came to your mind, and that's what he became after you cast this spell. At the same time,
he's whooping everyone's ass.
At the same time, when you casted this bonding spell to turn him into a bunny, you don't recall what spell you used exactly. However, you realize in that moment that you feel like you're missing a large part of yourself. You're not sure what that is, but you feel like deep down that something's missing. And something's off.
Other than
like
my
you feel
memory,
like you couldn't
obviously.
Cast this spell again if you tried your hardest.
Yeah, well, is it that my memory's off or like something else is off or maybe a combination?
Something is off, but you definitely, as of right now, you don't remember anything other than what we experienced.
Oh, yeah.
Just a few moments ago. Outside of that, you don't remember why you were here and exactly what went wrong.
Got
and
it.
Why this greater demon, from what he's telling you, is in the shape of a bunny.
Okay. Yeah.
I could take this. I could travel a short distance within this realm through this portal. But the problem is, I feel like I need to take you. I feel like, did you cast like a pact spell on me or something, man?
Me? Dude, you were ripping people's face off. I was just sitting in the corner.
Yeah, I kind of do that. I rip
praying
people's
to
off.
Like
fresh
you know.
Blood.
Yeah.
All right, listen.
I mean,
you got. I can't.
Do you see this? This is normal to you.
We're
this
going on a
to
ride,
me.
Bud. All right. So then he stands up and he puts his head towards the portal, and you both get instantly sucked in, and the portal closes behind you.
I don't like.
Fast
that.
Forward, you I end like up that. In a town. So fast forward like a few days, you ended up outside of a town, the town of Gilo. This is a very unfamiliar place that you've been because you're not even sure if you're on the same continent, than before you went through the portal, but for some reason the portal dropped you out here. So you go into this town and you go into the first tavern you see, and the tavern's name is the Running Goblin. And you manage to get a room. The owner, Duncan is the owner, and he saw that you were like ripped apart, and he kind of has a soft spot for people in need, and he's just never seen a tiefling. He doesn't see many tieflings in his lifetime, so he's like, well,
and rabbits, let's be honest.
So he didn't see the rabbit.
Oh.
So he didn't know you had a rabbit. He just saw somebody in need and he decided to give you a room.
Right.
So you explain like from what you know, like, hey, I'm not feeling well. I just need a place to stay. And he kind of threw you a bone and you're in this tavern. So you're staying there. That's where we'll end your prologue, and now we're gonna go over to Alec. Alec, how you feeling, bud?
I'm feeling amazing, man. Mm-hmm. That was so far two great stories.
I love it.
Thank you. All right. We venture into the frigid north of North Trillis, where frost and snow are king and queens, covering the lands far and wide, and snowy mountaintops are covered with raging winds and brutal snowstorms. To the west of North Trillis stands a stoic, monumental volcano mountain. This mountain is so gorgeous, it's like straight out of a Bob Ross painting. You know when he does those canyons and mountain ranges in his paintings? That's how beautiful this mountain range looks. And among those mountain ranges is an active volcano. Okay?
Birds always need friends, right? There has to be
more
than
one. Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely. Just a little friend, just for me and you. And your tribe. Off to the side of the volcano is a beaten snowy path that can be found leading into a cave entrance of the mountain that's been carved away by men, or should I say, Goliaths. Inside this hollowed out mountainside is a Goliath tribe known as the Ashborns. The entrance of the mound opens up to a basin that you can see almost like a small city built, where like houses and huts are like mounted to the walls. Flags and sigils are hung of your clan on all these houses and from the ceiling caves. The cave is well lit with torches and small steady streams of runoff lava from the active volcano next door. These little lava streams run around the town. It gives a good source of light and a sense of home. As Ashenborns, as the Ashborn clan, you feel right at home here. And it's a little weird because as a nomad tribe, you would have left by now. But this place looks so cozy that it looks like this nomad tribe has been here for quite some time. Sounds of hammers and forgings echo through the mountains as Goliaths are hard at work mining and forging away, making new weapons almost as well as a dwarf would. On one of the lava rivers around the camp, a forge can be found, with our hero inside talking to his favorite aunt. Alec, can you please describe your character for us, please?
Yeah, no problem. So my character's name is Drell. He is an 18-year-old Goliath. He's 8 foot tall and, you know, probably roughly 265 pounds. His skin is a smoky gray, but yet, even though he's 18, for some reason, he has a full-grown, thick black beard. His eyes, yeah, right? I wish
but
I had
like,
one of those.
Are you big for your age or, like, small for your age? That's the question.
So, 8 foot.
18,
I mean,
he's probably
are
fully grown as far as height goes. Yeah. Like, he hit his growth spurt twice as a Goliath. Mm-hmm. You know, when he was 10, yeah, he hit 6 foot. And then, you know, his second growth spurt.
I wish I had one of those.
I feel like 265 pounds, too, is a pretty decent weight, right? He's not like a thick boy, you know?
That's pretty thick,
but,
boy.
He's not
so
like chicken leg
McGee.
So you haven't
been eaten is what you're saying.
No.
So
I think it's
successful?
Just a solid weight, you know? It's a solid weight.
Oh, okay. Right.
So
in
anyway,
middle.
So his eyes shimmer with a gold-yellow tint. He's covered head to toe in blue tribal markings, like the color of a frozen glacier. The designs of the tattoos represent being a fighting warrior of the Ashborn tribe. His clothes consist of a black shirt, pants, and leather boots. He's chainmail covers his arms and torso. He also wears a long black cloak to hide it all. Drell believes in three things: honor, fairness, and above all, glory. His tribe prays to the god Balinor. It's the god of beasts and the hunt. His goal is to be the most battle-tested, glorious Goliath of his tribe.
So there we see Drell in all of his glory, sitting in a forge that's kind of like half inside, half outside type deal. And sitting at a table on the outside is Drell, sitting on like a stone seat, talking to an elderly woman. This woman is his aunt, who has raised Drell from when he was a little boy, from when his parents passed on, when he was just a young lad. All right. The woman there, her name is Dory. Dory starts banging away, making some final adjustments on an axe she's making. And she puts down the hammer and she tempers the blade and then sets it out to cool for a minute. And so she turns around and looks at you. And she goes, Drell, my favorite nephew. How are you doing? How are you doing today? She reaches her hand up, puts it on top of your bald head. Like, how are you doing today? Are you excited?
I'm ready. I've been preparing my whole life for this day.
Preparing your whole life. You're going to go out. You're going to make your parents proud. What type of monsters are you going to go for? What are you going to fight? What's your dream monster? Tell me about it.
I'm going for anything and everything that will fight me. I want to dominate this
Drell,
entire continent.
I don't know if anything's going to fight you. You're just so big and scary. Look at these muscles. She's patting you on the bicep, feeling up your tricep. Look at this, my strong nephew. You will make the Ashborns proud. And she like gets a little vascular as she screams because she's feeling her own pump. Because Dory is in fact a barbarian, so she rages very easily. But in her old age, like, I'm getting too old. I know Goliath shouldn't live this old. I should have died in a fight a long time ago, but the clan needs me. That's enough about me. Drell. South Trillis of all places. I can't believe you'd go. I thought you'd go north and fight the winds. What's going on? Why South Trillis, Drell?
Because I've heard rumors of large beasts living in the south. giants are one thing up here in the north, Auntie.
God,
but I'm ready to fight.
Drell, you're absolutely right. She pinches your cheek. She really grabs it. He hits you with one of those. Like, Drell, listen, I'll be honest with you. She pulls up a giant boulder to sit on. Like, this woman just lifts a 200-pound boulder with ease, sits in front of you, sits down, looks up at you. She goes, Drell, I gotta be honest with you. I'm glad you're going to South Trillis. And I'm glad you came to that conclusion on your own, because who hasn't killed a frost giant? Who hasn't killed a two-headed ice dragon blowing dangerous frost winds, keeping this place a horrible
frozen? I killed a giant for my 12th birthday, Auntie.
I remember when you were... listen, I remember when you were just a boy and you took down your first saber-toothed tiger just at 9 years old with no help at all from your auntie.
My favorite.
It was so great. You used to use a one hand. You used to have like this one-handed axe that would fit into the palm of your hand as a two-handed. You were so cute. You were so cute. You're the cutest 5'9" 9-year-old I've ever seen. I'm so proud of you. You're gonna go, and I bet you're gonna fight whatever south. Because listen, I'll be honest with you. The strongest monsters are up here, but they've all been killed. Look on the walls. You look on the walls. There's like troll heads everywhere. There's saber-tooth tiger pelts and bear pelts, and like there's even like a giant dragon head being held by chains on the top of the cavern. Like, we've done this before. We're known for this stuff. We killed everything in the north. You know what? I'm glad you're going to south, because you'll be able to bring back something that we've never seen. I wish I can go with you. It's just, I gotta stay here to look after the clan. You know, as one of the elders, I gotta look after the clan. You there, Drell?
Yeah. Like, what do you want me to say to that? Like,
talk to your aunt, man. You're such a lad of few words, and I like that about you. You know, some of these Goliaths, oh, chatty, you gotta see us at the elder meetings. He's like, I just want to take on my axe and smash something before I lose my mind. But you know, I really can't anymore. Imagine seeing a 65-year-old lady like me fighting a dragon nowadays. You know how absurd that would be, Drell? Have you ever seen a 65-year-old lady fight a dragon? You think I can fight? I'll be honest with you. You think I can fight an ice dragon?
I think the last thing I saw you fight was maybe a little troll 3 years ago.
Because I'm stuck up here. I'm wasting so much time to
chop off one of its arms for you to fight.
She's gripping an axe as she's yelling. She's getting all vascular again. Like her fucking, like you could drive a truck up her neck. Like, it's okay. It's my elderly duty to oversee the clan and make sure young, new, aspiring nomads like yourself get your chance in the world. You gotta bring me back something special, right? I want you to kill
You will get your day to die in glory one day, Auntie. But
not
for now,
stuck in this mountain, and nobody
you.
Want we. You know, for a nomad clan, we aren't being much nomads. You've been here for 100 years almost. It's boring in here, but that's what everyone decided. It's a nice cave. It is a nice cave, don't you think, Drell?
I do love the cave. I've been living in it my whole life, so I actually don't know how I will survive out in the world.
Listen, I know
I
you're going to be good. Listen, you see that axe right there? That beautiful axe? Who made you that axe? Who made you that axe, Drell?
You
damn sure, has it ever let you down, Drell?
No.
Damn sure, you want to know why? Because I make good axes! She picks up her own two-hander and she smashes the seat that she's sitting on, and the stone just cuts in half, and she's like... Not today, Goosefrob. Her veins subside back into her very ripped old lady chest. And she goes,
Trell's like not even caught off guard.
He's
so
used
to her
normal.
Like just doing it.
Very
yeah,
normal.
Very
listen,
normal.
She goes into the forest. Like, I got something for you. You're gonna need this because you know how Lord Baron is. You know how Lord Baron is. So she goes into the house, comes out. She's like, look, listen. Here's something I prepared. It's a letter for you, okay? When you go down to No Man's Land, by the way, a little backstory, between North Trillis and South Trillis is like a little land, it's like a land bridge considered No Man's Land. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been claimed by anybody because it is a divider and nobody should hold passage between the two continents. However, there is a divider between the northern part of South Trillis and the southern part of South Trillis.
It's called the Lord Baron's Divider. So Dory, come back to Dory. She goes, listen, this letter is gonna get you past Lord Baron's main gates. All right, this is gonna take you to a town. It's good. I think the first town over there is Gilo. Lord Baron is a family friend. My great aunt knew him. So he, listen, you show this to the guard. You say you give this to Lord Baron. It's from Dory. Dory is the destroyer. Right, he might know that name better than just Dory. You know, you just call me Dory. Nobody better call me Dory unless it's you, Drell. You know, because you're my
nephew. Haven't tried to kill him before.
Oh,
have
we
you?
Go back. So, as what you know as a Goliath, Lord Baron is actually a Goliath too. From what you learned as a child, from even before the Red Catastrophe that you've just heard stories of, you never witnessed it, or anybody in your family line has never witnessed it, because it never happened in the North. Lord Baron, or just Baron at the time, was a messenger between the Free Folk and South Trillis. He always traveled with like new advancements in technology. He was always a man of like science and things like that, and research rather than magic. But he also had a huge fascination with magic, but he was never a magical person. Like, he wasn't able to cast spells or anything like that. So fast forward, he gained some type of reputation with the kingdoms in South Trillis, and now he has a fortress that acts as a divider between the North and the South. So listen, you gotta take this letter and you gotta go there, because once you get past No Man's Land, you know, that frigid bastard of a trip, right? You're gonna, there's a little town there that actually gives passage from the Free Folk along the Kingdom of Brim, which is the north part of South Trillis, by the way, just for a little lore. I'll show you a map in a bit. It's gonna take you through the Kingdom of Brim, and it's gonna get you past the Lord Baron's Divider, and then you'll finally be in South Trillis, where once these great beasts that you're going on about roamed. Okay, the first town out of there, that carriage is gonna take you right through Lord Baron's fortress, and it's gonna take you to the town of Gilo. All right, this letter is gonna get you through that. They normally just don't let anyone through without a good reason. This reason is a good reason. He's gonna do me a favor, because we go our families go way back, Drell. Okay, so you hold on to this letter. Okay, you make sure you give that a good read when you get a chance. Okay, Drell. She tucks a letter into your pouch. Until like a safe spot.
Drell like stands up and gives her like the predator handshake, and he's like, "I will make you proud, Auntie, and all the Ashborn."
As you speak, you see her like eyes lighting up, and it's like her wrists are getting more vascular. She goes, "Oh, Drell, I know you will. I'm so proud of you. I can't wait. You're gonna make your parents proud. You're gonna make your parents proud. I swear. They're looking down at you right now. They go, That's my boy. That's my boy." Drell, you're gonna do great. So you get your things ready, you get your axe, you sling it over, you get your pack of stuff, and you suit up, and you're getting ready. And how your journey begins is that you leave this cavern, this warm, comfortable cavern, and you set out into the cold. You got some people waving you goodbye, your aunt's giving you that final farewell. She goes, "Don't forget to beat somebody in the face for glory!" And you leave the cave, and you start making your way. You start heading south, and eventually, after like a day or two of traveling in the cold, which is nothing for you because you're a Goliath, you get to a small outpost that is at the top of No Man's Land, which is a land bridge connecting to South Trillis. And there's like a carriage system there where they take Free Folk through the territory of Brim, which is a kingdom in South Trillis, which is like the top part of South Trillis. So you get on this cab.
So Brim is like the other side of No Man's Land?
Yes.
Like, so right on the other side?
If you were to look at a map, so North Trillis is its own continent connected by a land bridge called No Man's Land. And then you have South Trillis. So the top, the northern part of South Trillis is the Kingdom of Brim. So it goes the Kingdom of Brim. And then at the bottom of the Kingdom of Brim is Lord Baron's Divider. And then below Lord Baron's Divider is the Kingdom of Aramor, where the town of Gilo is. The town of Gilo is the closest you can get before crossing over to the Kingdom of Brim. It's like the main town for like travelers and merchants and things like that.
Okay.
Yep. So you get on this carriage, and it's like, "All right, next carriage leaves in 15. A little dwarf comes out of the outpost, starts getting the carriage ready. He's like pitter-pattering, getting the giant dire frost wolves ready to trek through the snow. And go into the Kingdom of Brim towards Lord Baron's fortress.
Do I fit in this?
You barely fit. Well, this so like you're like hunched like over. No, you're sitting inside because Goliaths are pretty common here. Okay. So like it's like a tight fit. You get into a carriage. It's a pretty large carriage. There's a bunch of dwarves mainly that's in there. You don't see any other Goliaths because Goliaths don't normally travel outside. Outside of like just you feel like these carriages were made with Goliaths in mind, but it's not ideal. Okay. So you get in this carriage. And you start making your trip down to the town of Gilo, just past Lord Baron's Divider.
And that's it for our first episode. Catch us next week for when our heroes finally meet. But in the meantime, here's a sneak peek.
You just headbutt this fucking bug bandit. I'm a duck.
I yell, for the beer!
An actual one. How do I... Look at this!
But he just, it's as if the child just disappeared without a trace.
Hey everybody, DM Tony here. I just want to say thank you for listening to our first episode of D&D 404. We hope you had as much fun listening to it as we did making it. I also want to tell you that we're available on many social media platforms such as TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, varying from short skits to maybe long-winded episodes on YouTube. So please go ahead and check us out. And until then, we'll see you next Tuesday for episode 2.